So we'll learn a little bit about tshuva, yeah?
Okay. We can go out to 5.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see what time. You know, whatever time we have. Don't feel. You know, this is always l'shem shamayim, and that's what we want to do. Okay, we'll start with the Gemara here in Masechet Shabbos. This is in the 23rd perek. That's on Kuf Nun Gimel. You have to go more than 150 blot to find this Gemara. Okay, the Gemara says, in the name of Rabbi Eliezer. There's a famous statement in Rabbi Eliezer in Masechet Avos, "Veshuv Yom Echad Lifnei Misasecha." You remember that?
Right, you should repent the day before you die.
Yeah, because we never know when is the day we die. That's what the Talmidim asked him. You know, I should do tshuva right before I die. Sholu Talmidim asked Rabbi Eliezer, "How v'chiyadav yodea eze yom yomust? Can a person predict when he's going to die?"
Right.
Omar lahem. So he responded to them, "V'kolshgein yoshuv hayom." Adarabi, you're just strengthening what my point. My goal was to instruct you to do tshuva today. Don't delay. Urgent. It's got to be now. Shema yamus l'machar. Because you don't know. Maybe tomorrow is the last day you have. Very scary, but that's what he says. Vinim. So therefore, according to my prescription, kol yamav b'tshuva. That basically every day of your life you're doing tshuva, because every day might be the last day of your life. The right. Afshlomo, yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No, does anyone really
take this to heart?
Yeah,
unfortunately, people are laid back about this. You know, they don't take this Gemara seriously.
People don't live their lives like they're going to die the next day.
Right. They should, though, really be very serious about life, because life is very tenuous. You know, how do they say that the first thing you do when you wake up yours is you thank Hashem that you're still alive? You look right, left, and center, and people are unfortunately dying. I mean, I just spoke to one of the gentlemen in my class. He told me that he couldn't make it. He had to go to his friend's levaya.
Right.
And we should be serious about this. You know, the Gemara says in the name of Shlomo HaMelech, "Bechol eis yu b'gadecha levanim v'shemen al roshecha." I think this is in Mishlei, the king. No, he's saying that every day your clothing should be white.
Right.
And Rashi explains this. He says, "Mipnei she'eni yodea eizi yom yom." He doesn't know when he's going to die. Therefore, tov v'tshuva yom echad lifnei misascha nimtza kol yom v'tshuva kasiyu v'gadecha levanim nishmasecha tahora unikia. Rashi says that the begadim here of Shlomo Melech and Mishlei are symbolic of the neshama of a person. The neshama of a person has to remain pure and clean, Rashi says,
right.
Bechol yom, on a daily basis, bechol eis, every single moment. And I think the Ramban really embellishes this in his Igeres. You know, many Sidurim, I think our Siddur as well, has a reprint of the Igeres and Ramban that he wrote to his son.
Right.
And in that Igeres, he writes, "Utefashpesh b'masecha baboker uba'erev." On a daily basis, you should be introspective. You know, taking a look and investigating your actions. Ubazeyu kol yamecha b'tshuva. And if you do that, says the Ramban, you'll be constantly on a daily basis involved in tshuva.
Right.
And you know, basically, I think the message here of the Ramban is that we have a chiv pishpush b'maisim. Pishpush means we have to really constantly investigate our actions. You know, re-examine them and see if they, you know, take them up to the light and see if they hold, right. If they really hold true to the moral standards that the Torah demands us.
Right.
And b'chol yom. And it's interesting that he says b'chol yom. Do you see where he says that? Kol yomecha. B'chol yom. Yeah, God, what do you want to say?
In the English Rambam says b'boker u'ba'er. So,
right.
What should you do before nighttime, like before you go to bed and say, mm-hmm. What have you done between now and then?
Right. It could be that you go to sleep at night and you did this introspection, and then you wake up in the morning and who knows what happened during the course of the night. You know, people sin even during the night.
Right, but like, I guess it's like, what's the... Is it more of a question
it could be that's a way of conveying that it should be constant.
Right.
You know, like for example, in the mitzvah of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, it says, V'shalbuchav kumecha. Maybe that's a way of saying that constantly, you know, we should be involved in Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, or in tefillah. You know, the Rambam writes that B'chol Yom Yispal means every day and any day.
Right.
It's a constant mitzvah of Avodas Hashem. In Torah it says V'gisa v'yom v'layla. It doesn't mean once during the day and once at night. It means constantly. Well, here too,
yeah.
I think what he means is Boker Ba'erev is that this is a constant thing. We should always be... Again, I want to make a point here that psychologically we shouldn't go overboard. You know, people get anorexic and all this. You know, if you become too hard on yourself on a constant basis, if you're too intense about making decisions in life and about life itself, you know, that could also drive you insane. You know, the people who can't make decisions. You know, they're so tense. Some people are so down on themselves that they, you know, in Chassidus, for example, they're very opposed to that.
Right.
You know, the worst thing in the world is someone has no belief in himself. You know, v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, but it has to start with kamocha. You have to have, you know, your love for yourself.
Right. Well, one thing that a former psychologist once told me was that if you identify a problem before it happens, like I'm tired today. There's a chance that I'm going to be. There's a really high likelihood that I'm going to get angry.
You make that evaluation beforehand. Meaning,
and it actually makes it much, much easier to control yourself.
Right. If you take a moment to anticipate what state of being. Right. Everybody says that the antidote to anger is to count to 10. You know, before you let out your anger. Yeah, there's a lot of truth to that.
But you know that you've had a stressful day.
Right.
Okay, so like something like Baboke could also be like, okay, one of the problems I'm anticipating for today is going to be a stressful meeting, I'm going to have to talk to this one and that one, deal with this.
Right.
Like,
All right, let's talk a little bit about the mitzvah of tshuva. Is there a mitzvah of tshuva, and is it to be counted in the taryag? Now, you and I may know that the Rambam, in fact, counts it in taryag. That's what we're used to. But the question is, what's the source for it? So if you take a look at the end of Sefer Dvarim, Parshas Vayelech, the Torah says in Perek Lamed, V'shavta Hashem Elokecha, V'shamata B'kolo, that we must return to Hashem. And it sounds like that might be a mitzvah. On the other hand, maybe it's a prediction, maybe it's a divine promise. But then if you skip to Pasuk Yud Aleph, the Torah records, Ki ha-mitzvah ha-zos asher anochi mitzavcha yom. This mitzvah I'm commanding you today. The Torah goes out of its way to call this and classify it as a mitzvah. And it's only referring to tshuva because there's no other mitzvah in this parasha. And therefore, the Ramban says, Ki ha-parasha ha-zos, where is it? Let's take a look at the Ramban at the beginning of Pasuk Yud Aleph. He says, V'tam, the meaning of Ki ha-mitzvah ha-zos, al kol ha-torah kula. Okay, this is one interpretation which the Ramban I don't think is going to accept, but he always presents Rashi's view and other views. He says, "Vanochon," but in my opinion, what's correct is not that this is a reference to Kol Tarkula, but rather Kol Tor Yom Kol Mitzvah Shanochi Mitzavcha Yom. It doesn't say Ki Mitzvah Zos, but Mitzvah Zos must be specific Al Tshuva. And his keres on the mitzvah of tshuva, which is already mentioned there, pasuk beis, ki vashivosa elav avecha vashavto ad Hashem elokecha. This is the obligation to do tshuva, to come all the way back to Hashem, as close as possible to Hashem. Mitzvah sheyitzava osanu lasos kein. The Ramban claims that this is a mitzvah that we have to fulfill. V'nemar b'loshen habenoni. Limos b'avtocha ki osir hadover lios kein. There's an allusion here that Hashem is promising that eventually Klal Yisrael will do tshuva, and that's when the redemption is going to come about. So it means that it says ki a mitzvah zos asher noch. It's a little bit odd. He calls it a lashon benedi. It doesn't say outright ani mitzavcha yom es a mitzvah zos. You know, he says ki a mitzvah zos. Because he wants to allude also to the Achris Hayom in the end of days when we will all do tshuva, we'll all come back to Hashem. There's another part in this Ramban that we skipped. If you go back to Pasuk Beis, when it says in the pasuk v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha, and then it says v'shamata b'kolo kechol asher anochi mitzavcha hayom, etc., etc., atov v'necha, he says shetoshev el Hashem b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshcha utegabel olech v'al v'necha l'dorosom lasos kechol asher anochi mitzavcha hayom. He says that the ultimate geula is going to come about when we accept upon ourselves Hashem with all our heart, with all our soul, and we accept upon ourselves and our generations to come to fulfill all the mandates of Hashem. That's the time of the ultimate geula. And that's what he says in the bottom of Pasuk Yud Aleph. He says, "V'zeh atam b'ficha u'bilvavcha lasoso." She is vadu es avonam ves avonavosam b'fiem v'yashuvu b'libam el Hashem. Namely, that the Torah commands us in the mitzvah of b'ficha u'bilvavcha lasoso, which is a mitzvah of vidui. She is vadu es avonam ves avonavosam b'fiem. B'fiem means it has to be enunciated. It's not enough just to think about it, but you really have to pronounce it in a way that anyone can hear it. V'yashuvu bilvavam el Hashem. And then they'll do tshuva, a genuine tshuva, and come back to Hashem. V'yikablu aleim ayom haTorah lasosa l'dorosam. Then, once they are free of sin and totally committed to be good Jews, then they can accept the Torah for all generations to come. So let's just summarize what we have here until this point. We have a Ramban in the Geras HaRamban that seems to reflect what we saw in the Gemara in Shabbos of B'chol Eis Yu B'Gadech Levadim, a constant involvement in introspect and in tshuva. We have a source for the mitzvah of tshuva in Dvarim Perek Lamed V'Shavta Hashem Elokecha. And not only that, we also have at the same time a divine promise that at the end of time, Klal Yisrael will do tshuva, and v'yashuvu b'libo mel Hashem, v'yikablu aleim haTorah, etc., etc. So let's go. Let's see if we can go on with this to the next page. Okay. Now there's a very strange concept with regard to the mitzvah saseh tshuva. Let's say there weren't a mitzvah saseh tshuva. You know, whenever the Torah adds a mitzvah, it's coming for some purpose. It's got to be a chiddush. Now, in this case, we don't exactly understand. We can't pinpoint the chiddush. What would be without the mitzvah tshuva? We'd still have a mitzvah tshuva, even without the mitzvah tshuva. Meaning, the Torah commands us not to do X, Y, and Z, right? And now he violated that. So he's got to stop violating it.
Right.
He has to terminate his actions. I mean, that itself is tshuva.
It's part of tshuva, it's not.
Oh, okay. So you're aware of the Rambam. The Rambam is going to add, you know, a number of conditions to tshuva. But if you would have asked me for a knee-jerk response, what is tshuva? Tshuva really means cessation from sin. Stop. Terminate your behavior pattern, which is so full of sin.
Right. I guess if you're it's happened on Shabbos. This is the person who, you know, he's not doing this now, but he was the cook at a place I was at for Shabbos. I was volunteering, that's why I couldn't come to you. Anyway, so he said, you know, when I was, he's now 40-something, so when I was 23, I did, you know, this particular terrible thing. And he was like reminiscing, like, it was a good thing. Like, it was like, you know, he was proud of it, sort of thing.
He didn't have any remorse.
He didn't have any remorse.
Regret.
For doing what he did.
Right.
Like, you know, yes, he's not doing that anymore. That particular mindset, but he's not sad about it.
Uh-huh. Okay, so I don't know what to tell you about that. The Rambam seems to assume that there's more to tshuva than just what we call cessation from evil and, you know, terminating sin. Aziva Sachet is obviously the precondition to tshuva, but the Rambam requires a much, much more detailed and embellished, profound act of tshuva. But let's ask ourselves a different question. You know, we let's say, are sitting in the seats of the Rishonim, we're writing and compiling the Sefer Mitzvahs. We're trying to define 613 mitzvahs. Would the mitzvah of tshuva insofar as tshuva means azivas hachet, would that be incorporated as a separate mitzvah in the Taryag? And it's fascinating that when the Rambam counts the mitzvah in Taryag, take a look at how the Rambam defines this mitzvah. You're familiar with this? It's a very famous Rambam. The Rambam says, mitzvah saseh, in all of Hilchos Tshuva, there's only one mitzvah saseh, a positive command, v'hi, and what is that mitzvah? Sheyoshuv hachotei mechetel lifnei Hashem v'yisvada. What element here does the Rambam add? Vidui. Did you see it? Vidui seems to be an essential part of tshuva. Maybe it's the essence of the tshuva. If you look in the Rambam, in the Pnim, he says, kol mitzvah Torah, bein esei, bein losasem, over odom al achas mem, bein bizodom, bein bishkogu, kishiyas et tshuva v'yoshu micheto, chayim l'svados. The Rambam says when he does tshuva, then he has to recite vidui. Right. Meaning, the fact that he has to do tshuva, that's understood. That's not part of the mitzvah. That's not a mitzvah unto itself in Taryag. But the Rambam counts tshuva as a mitzvah Taryag, not because of the mitzvah of tshuva, but because of the mitzvah of vidui.
Rabbi, it's not just a question of yes, I did it, rather like I did it and I feel bad. Like I acknowledge I've done something wrong, as opposed to yes, you know, I robbed a bank, next day I like did something else.
Right, but that's not the Rambam. I don't think. I mean, what you're saying might be true, but if you ask me, how does the Rambam define the mitzvah of vidui? What should be counted, enumerated in Taryag? I think it's vidui.
Right,
it's not tshuva.
It's vidui, but it's but what vidui means, I would think, would be like I did something negative. Like I've stolen.
It's a statement, a declaration.
It's a declaration of something that you did, something that someone did that was negative. Like I'm admitting to a negative act that I did.
Okay. I mean, the Rambam, take a look, you know, yes, like, the Rambam is very consistent. If you take a look in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam writes, Mitzvahs Ayin Gimel, Mitzvah Say Ayin Gimel, He should see Varulis Vados. The mitzvah is Vidui. On the right side, do you see what it says Sefer HaMitzvahs on page 2?
Yes.
So it says HaMitzvah Ayin Gimel, the 73rd mitzvah, He should see Varulis Vados, etc., etc.
Yeah.
And then, within the context of vidui, the Rambam says he should add some sort of nusach of tshuva. Because again, when he's reciting vidui, he's in front of Hashem. And in his heart, he does tshuva. Correct?
Right.
Let's say he has a really sincere inner feeling of remorse, and he's embarrassed about what he did, and he really wants to take a resolution not to repeat his sin. That's all in his heart. But ask me, what's the Maisa Mitzvah, as we call it? And the Rambam says, the Maisa Mitzvah is Vidui.
Right.
All the other components of Tshuva, those are already accompaniments to Vidui.
Right, but Vidui, the definition of the word Vidui must mean like admittance of fault. It's not like lehaid. It's not just like yes, I did something neutral, not taking sides, you know, whether I did something wrong or right.
No, but I'm asking a different question, Ben.
Okay,
you're right. I'm not denying that vidui is a confession of sin, and you have to be very sincere about it. But I'm just saying, what about all the other parts of tshuva? Why are they left out here?
Right.
If you would have been the Rambam and you were compiling a Sefer HaMitzvahs, wouldn't you have defined the mitzvah of tshuva as azivas hachet, v'charot al shavar, v'kabbalah losid, all the different elements of tshuva? And they don't get even a mention here in a footnote. The Rambam says the mitzvah is lisvados. And could it be possible that the Rambam holds that tshuva and all the parts of tshuva are given, so to speak, they're understood? The real Maisa Mitzvah, which would be counted in Taryag, Rambam always counts Maisa Mitzvah in the Taryag, is the mitzvah of reciting Vidui. Now obviously the Vidui is only meaningful if it's sincere and it culminates all the different inner experiences of tshuva, but be that as it may, the mitzvah is not those inwardly or internal experiences of tshuva, but rather the external act of reciting Vidui. That's the mitzvah.
If you would have had like the thing of cessation of sin, would you have said like the one mitzvah is bigger than the other? Like I stopped, you know, killing, And the others, no, I stopped stealing. Like, who's doing
it? I would say it all depends on how tough it is for you to overcome your temptation. You fell into a hergel, you know, like Mark Twain is famous for saying, it's easy to stop smoking, I did it 1,000 times. Right. You know, if you're really habitual about something, it's very difficult, as you and I know, to break a habit.
Right.
And I would think that the greater the difficulty, then, and despite the difficulty and the challenge you overcome, that the greater is the mitzvah. But be that as it may, I think this point is very fundamental and should be understood, that the Rambam holds that the definition of the mitzvah of tshuva is vidui. If you'll take a look on the bottom right, there's a sefer called the Kiryas Sefer on the Rambam. That's like a standard classical work on the Rambam from many centuries ago. And he writes on the Rambam, HaTshuva VeHavidui Mitzvah Echad Hi. I think that word is echad, although it's a little bit rubbed out.
Yeah, in my copy it's echad, yeah.
She'ein vidui b'li tshuva.
Okay.
So what's the Rambam saying, according to the Kiryas Sefer? He's trying to bring tshuva back into the equation. Do you notice that?
Yeah.
In all the sources that we saw, the Rambam reduced tshuva to vidui and identified the two. In the Kiryas Sefer's formulation, it's not just vidui, it's tshuva and vidui.
Right.
And tshuva and vidui is one mitzvah. You see, I would have said it a little differently. I would have said, if not for the Kiryas Sefer, that tshuva is a precondition to vidui, that the mitzvah itself is vidui. And he's saying, no, the mitzvah is tshuva and vidui. Both of these elements are part of the mitzvah. It's A plus B equals the mitzvah.
Right.
Now, truth be told, I could support the Kiryas Sefer to some extent from the language of the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, but I find it difficult to defend his interpretation of the Rambam within the context of Sefer Mitzvahs. Because in Tshuva, if you take a look at the mitzvahs that he has before he starts Hilchos Tshuva, mitzvahs say achas, vehi, what is that one single mitzvah? Sheyoshuv hachote, etc., etc., v'yisvade. It seems like the Rambam might have two components in the mitzvah of tshuva. He's got tshuva and vidui. That's not the way the Rambam says it in Sefer Mitzvahs.
Right.
Because if you look at Sefer Mitzvahs, he says, tzivono l'svados al chatos vavonos.
He's not quoting the Ketach is not quoting the Rambam,
No, I'm just saying, if I would add a footnote, a comment on this Kiryas Sefer, I would say, you know what, buddy, you're absolutely right, but only in the context of the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva. That's where we can squeeze it in, maybe, and push in your pshat. But your pshat is certainly not valid in the Sefer Mitzvahs. That's what I would tell him.
What might be a mitzvah, but it might be something he has left to do.
And therefore what? I'm not sure where you're taking me with this.
Okay, so, like, there are things that you know everyone has to do in order to exist. To breathe, to eat, to sleep.
Right, that is
true.
You
stop doing sins. Like, in order to do a mitzvah, you have to stop doing a averot, you know? So, like, those things aren't necessarily mitzvah, but you have to do them. So, Kosh Baruch Hu commands us X, we have to do X. And that means we can't do Y. Because that would be wrong.
Right.
So, like, it's more made up. Like, okay, and then there's a
mitzvah. So, what is the mitzvah of tshuva according to the Rambam? So, the two ways of going. You could either go the way of the Kiryas Sefer and say it's tshuva plus vidui. Those two together form one complete entity called the mitzvah of tshuva. So it's tshuva plus vidui. Or you could say the way it seems to be in the Rambam and Sefer in the Mishnah Torah, that the mitzvah of tshuva is vidui. So the Kiryas Sefer will have tshuva plus vidui. The Rambam seems to say, at least in the Yad, the Rambam seems to say that the mitzvah is tshuva. I'm sorry, the mitzvah is vidui and not tshuva. Tshuva would be then a precondition to vidui and it has to be fulfilled, but it's not the gufa shel mitzvah. The gufa shel mitzvah, according to Rambam, in the pnim of Hilchos Tshuva, is vidui. That's the guf maisa mitzvah. Whereas according to the Kiryas Sefer's interpretation of the Rambam, which might fit into the Rambam in his koteret, you know, to Hilchos Tshuva, The Rambam would hold that the mitzvah of tshuva is a combination of A plus B, of tshuva plus vidu. Now, the question I want to raise with you is there a nafkamina between the way we understood the Rambam and the way the Kiryas Sefer understands the Rambam? Or is it just a question, a conceptual, theoretical issue of how to count and define the mitzvah, or there's a practical nafkamina?
Okay.
So I think the nafkamina would be, what is the requirement with regard to the other elements besides of tshuva, like charat al avar and kabbalah asin? Does the Torah require that I feel that way and that's enough, or does the Torah require that I verbalize it in a verbal declaration?
Okay.
If I hold that the mitzvah is vidui, that's it, then all the other parts of tshuva are preconditions. They have to be an emotional transformation of the personality, but it doesn't have to be formulated in words. But if I hold that basically the mitzvah is not just vidui, it's vidui plus tshuva, if the mitzvah is only vidui, all the rest have to be an inner experience, an inner emotion. But if I hold the mitzvah is tshuva plus vidui, it's quite possible, but I can't convince you of this because I don't know, but it's quite possible that the mitzvah of tshuva with all its various parts has to be fulfilled with a declaration. Like vidu, you must say something bepeh. It's not enough to think about it.
Okay.
That's what I would say.
Right, isn't there a concept like Shabalev and Shabalev? Like, if you think about something, do you, say anything or do anything?
Right, there is a principle called Dvam Shabalev Lavi Dvarim, but that's only with regard to interpersonal relationships, meaning if we enter into a contract agreement, everything's got to be explicit in the contract.
Right.
If a woman accepts Kiddushin and she didn't make any conditions, then the assumption is it was an absolute marriage without any hooks or any conditions. That's called Dvarim Shebelev Lavi Dvarim. But when it comes to tshuva, I wouldn't say Dvarim Shebelev Lavi Dvarim, because if we accept the Kiryas Sefer, the Rambam, the mitzvah is tshuva, and tshuva is belev. But if we accept that tshuva and vidui together form one mitzvah, which seems to be the Kiryas Sefer's approach, then it could very well be that to the same extent that the vidui has to be bepeh, so too the tshuva has to be bepeh.
Okay.
And therefore you would, this is a new chiddush here, that according to Kiryas Sefer, we would have to recite a declaration of tshuva out loud, with all the respect to your thoughts and the the repercussions of your thoughts, but that's not enough. It's got to be like vidu. It's got to be a declaration, a verbal declaration.
Right.
So let's take a look at the Rambam now in Perek Beis Mehilchas Tshuva. This is the Rambam of Tshuva Gemura, meaning we know in Tshuva there are many different levels. The Rambam says, Ezo hi Tshuva Gemura, what's the perfect level of Tshuva? And the Rambam goes on to say that he has another encounter with the temptation, the situation of sin, and he overcomes his temptation, not because of fear, maybe he's going to get caught, or not because he tried and he didn't succeed, but rather because he understands that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put him on this world for a specific purpose. So let's see the Rambam. The Rambam says, Lo mi yirah v'lo mi kishon koach. Let's say a man falls in love with a woman and he has an illicit relationship with her, and now he wants to do tshuva. So if he does tshuva because he's afraid of the repercussions socially or punishment if he gets caught or anything like that, that's not tshuva gemura. I mean, we'll take any tshuva we can get, but tshuva gemura, the complete perfect tshuva, is a tshuva not because of yira, because he's afraid, but because he really, really wants to do tshuva. It's some sort of inner need on his part to do tshuva. That's tshuva gemura. And therefore, he finds himself in the same situation of chet as the first man when he fell, when he was fell into the clutches of the Yetzirah. Now, in the same exact situation, he still loves this woman, he finds her so attractive, and he still is strong, and he can do it. Nevertheless, he knows it's an illegal relationship. I'm not going to get involved.
Right.
That's a full bal tshuva gemura in the total sense.
So, could one say that David HaMelech was only did full tshuva when he was presented with the whole situation with Abishag?
That what? That he did do full tshuva, or he did not do
that,
full tshuva?
That was the tshuva, because he wasn't intimate with her. And so therefore...
And yet he desisted, he did not fall... On the second round, he did not.
He did not.
Yeah, that would...
Had he done tshuva beforehand already?
That would seem to be, you're right, tshuva.
Wasn't the same woman, mind you, but...
Right. Now he has here a footnote that I didn't photocopy, so I'll just read it quickly.
Right.
He says... That l'chora, he says at first glance, it would seem from the Rambam she'etzem hatshuva ena mitzvah saseh el avidu hu mitzvah saseh. V'ainu im asa tshuva, then he's chayv in the mitzvah of vidu. V'chein mashma loshen Rambam b'sefer mitzvahs. Fine, he has a diuk in the Rambam b'sefer mitzvahs. And then he writes. Take a look on page 4. Do you have page 4 there? Just fast forward for a split second to page 4. The Chinuch writes, Mitzvahs vidui al achet. That's pretty fascinating. You know, here we've been racking our brains to come up with a definition of the mitzvah, and the Sefer Chinuch calls it mitzvah. Right? What does he call it again? Mitzvahs vidui al achet. You see in the koteret?
Okay, fine, yeah.
Mitzvah Shin Samatal, Mitzvah Vidui Alachet. Imamish spells it out for you. It's a Mitzvah Vidui. However, if you look a little bit further, he says, Shinitztavinu lehisvados. That's on the right column. You see in the Sefer Chinuch, Shinitztavinu lehisvados lifnei Hashem. Okay, al chatoim, etc., etc., etc. So the Sefer Chinuch clearly contradicts himself, because on the one hand he calls it a mitzvah vidui, and on the other hand he says that it's not enough to just recite vidui, but we need a lot more than vidui. Fine, that's consistent. But then he talks about the mitzvah of tshuva. So what is it? And if you take a look at Shor Sheh Mitzvah, he seems to support his, you know, the straightforward reading of the text, namely that the mitzvah is vidui. He says, Lefisha ba'odas ha'avon b'peh, when he confesses his sin orally, Tis gale machsheve sachote v'daito. What does this mean? The language is a little bit heavy. He says, "Lefisha ba'odas ha'avon b'peh, tis gale machsheve sachote v'daito shumamin be'emes." The very fact that the man does something which seems a little bit crazy, and he starts speaking to God and declaring his averus. That itself is an indication that he believes in God. Is that not so?
We're
going to look at the Sefer Chinuch one more time. And he says that that the mitzvah is vidui. That's certainly his definition of the mitzvah. But then he says that the significance of vidui is something great. It's something massive. He says, "Hodas ha'avam of meshin zgalam achshevas hachote v'daitu shumamin be'emes ki goli v'yoduf ne'akel baruch al maseu." I mean, every vidui, every act of vidui, is an implicit admission to the fact that God sees everything and God's aware of everything. That's why I owe God a vidui. Gam mitoch hazkar sachet befrat ubisnachamo olav yizor meni yosef v'pam acheres v'al nichshal bo. Now he speaks about the psychological impact of vidui, and he says that if a person mentions the sin and he goes into detail and he expresses his regret about the sin and his remorse, he'll be more careful and meticulous next time so as not to fall prey to the powers of evil that allure him to sin. So that you see that the Sefer Chinuch has vidui as the culmination of tshuva. It's really a package deal. And in which case the mitzvah of tshuva is not written as we saw in Parshas Vayelech, which was our opening parsha here, when it says V'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha. That's not really in truth the source for the mitzvah of vidui. Rather, the source for the mitzvah of vidui is at the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, and there it says V'svadu es chatosam asher osu in Perikei. So we now have a new source for the mitzvah of vidui. And truth be told, it depends on, you know, the Rambam's frame of reference depends on the two interpretations that we had of the Rambam. Does the Rambam identify the mitzvah of tshuva as vidui, or does the Rambam have a broader definition of tshuva, which includes two elements, tshuva and vidui? And the nafka mina is going to be, what's the source for the mitzvah of tshuva? Is it the parsha of tshuva or the parsha of vidui? There are two different parshas in the Torah. And if you take a look at the Minchas Chinuch, which is on the bottom of page 4, he starts with the Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva, Perek Aleph. And he says, "Nir al niyastayti midivra rav ha-machaber da mitzvahs asay kan eina tshuva rak vidui b'peh." He understands that the mitzvah of tshuva, according to the Sefer HaChinuch, is actually vidui. That is the mitzvah. And then he says that he has a raya to support that opinion from the Mechilta. And the Mechilta says, "Hayisi Omer Shein Vidui Al Eretz Yisrael." I might have thought that the mitzvah of vidui only applies in the land of Israel. Minol and Af Bechutz Laretz. I mean, the mitzvah of tshuva, Vashivos Al Vavecha, etc. Shavta Shavakecha. That's talking about Chutz Laretz, because it says, "Bechol Agoyim." We're amongst the nations of the world. And the parasha before that in Vaschanon speaks about Vehefetz Hashem Elokecha V'shavtad Hashem Elokecha. We are amongst the nations of the world, so we're not in Eretz Yisrael. So what's this Hava mean in the Mechilta that this mitzvah applies only in Eretz Yisrael? Elavadai tshuva l'chud tehi afilu b'leiv. Kani ha-mitzvah say kechol mitzvah say shel Torah da'ainu vidui peh. We need an act of a mitzvah, something that's objective, not your subjective feeling, and that's going to be vidui. V'im lo omer b'peh, if he doesn't recite his vidui out loud, then bitul mitzvah's essay, then he has undermined the fulfillment of a positive command. Mikomakom, he says, a chiddush elinyan kapara, as far as getting atonement for his sins, he says that's tshuva b'lev. That's the realm. That's where tshuva reigns supreme. But as far as the mitzvah per se is concerned, he's got to fulfill vidui b'peh. And there was a habmin in the parasha vidui b'peh that we're talking about Eretz Yisrael. And therefore the Mechilta needs a special pasuk to expand the mitzvah of vidui, in this case, to chutz laretz as well. And then he says that the Rambam also seems to indicate that the mitzvah is vidui and not tshuva, because the Rambam says kishiyase tshuva v'yoshuv. The Rambam never says he's chayav b'tshuva. He says when he does tshuva, then he's chayav l'svados mitzvah zeh mitzvah saseh vidui zeh mitzvah saseh. It seems that the Rambam identifies vidui as the mitzvah saseh and not tshuva, and in that sense, the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch are on the same page. In Kein Eino Mitzvah Mechuyeves Klal, he says that the mitzvah of tshuva is not an absolute chova, but rather the chova is vidui. Ooh.